Welcome in to another edition of the Return of the Roar podcast. Skipped out on last week, scheduling conflicts. You know how that goes after we took the week off.
That, there's just nothing going on.
That is true. That's true. In our defense.
Well, there was nothing going on. Now there is. And, you know, it's summer, man.
Yeah, we got to stack some news.
The grind of the regular season will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are already on the air every day.
It's four hours. It's so. Not that big of a deal. But no, it's yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely been slow, obviously. This is the dead period of time right now. The Kings don't have anybody in FIBA action either, as, you know, Chris Duarte pulled out of playing for the DR, and it doesn't seem like Sabonis obviously isn't playing with the news of his hand and recovering from that surgery and or non-surgery or whatever that weird story was that came out a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's really not much of any actual game action to talk about when it comes to the Kings. But nonetheless, there is still news, and we're here to talk about said news, starting with do you want to where should we start?
Should we start with, well, there was a signing. There was a signing.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to start.
I think one of the biggest question marks, I mean, to me, there was two. There's two question marks kind of still surrounding this Kings team for the rest of the offseason. One was the future of Nemias Keita. We now know the answer to that. Yeah. He has been inked to a training camp deal. There was some confusion at first, but our buddy Ricardo out in Portugal, he mapped out the fact that Keita is back on a training camp deal, non-guaranteed, partial guaranteed, just for training camp. Very similar to Nerlens Noel's deal, which is a $3.2 million contract, but $300K guaranteed. So essentially, Chris, what we're looking at is Nerlens Noel versus Nemias Keita for
men fighting for their life.
Fight for the life. Essentially for, I don't know if we can call it the backup center, but a center spot. Because we don't really know if they're going to go Trey Lyles. We don't know if they're going to play really small. Who knows? Point is, I think we can safely assume one of these players will be on the roster, not two.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to start with you. I mean, I think we talked about Nemias Keita a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You were on the way out on the Nemias Keita train. You're still out. So I guess let's look at it this way. Nemias Keita is 20. I believe he's turned 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Nerlens Noel, 29 years old. Mm-hmm. A grandpa. People that are 20 and 29 are grandpas nowadays. He is coming off injuries. Obviously, he's not played a full season in about 2-3 seasons. Which player is more intriguing to you? Are you more intrigued by the young player with upside, or are you more intrigued by a guy who's proven, has shown with the Knicks that he can be an impact defender when he's healthy? Do you kind of want to take a flyer on Nemias Keita and let him kind of have a full season and see what you can do? Or do you think it's more of the Kings don't have the ability to do that? This isn't the 2015 or 2014 Kings. They're not a project. They need players that can come in and be proven and plug those holes. And that's kind of more of Nerlens Noel if he's healthy. Which player do you kind of more want to – which pill do you want to take? The red pill or the blue pill?
I'm going to take, assuming since Nerlens went to Kentucky, I'll take the blue pill. And that's the Nerlens pill. I just think pretty much exactly what you laid out there. I mean, I just have more belief that Nerlens can be a semblance of what he was, like we saw with him on the Knicks or him with OKC or him even in Dallas. I think if we can get a piece of that, even if it's for, you know, like you said, we don't know what this role is going to be. We presume at this point it's going to be like a third center possibly getting like 10 to 15 minutes on any given night. If he can just excel in those 15 minutes for 50 to 60 games, I have a lot easier time imagining Nerlens being an impact player and filling a role that the Kings really need as a rim protector, a very, very low maintenance offensive guy, and really just somebody who's been around the league and knows who he is, as opposed to Nemias Keita, who's still in the process of figuring that stuff out. Who is he? What role does he serve? And, you know, I feel like I've said it a couple times. What is the goal with Nemias Keita in his development? Like, to me, it seems like the best case scenario is one day, who knows how far along that is, Nemias can be the backup center. Okay, like that's a pretty low bar to have for a developmental piece. And I just would have liked to see a lot more tangible things that I can work with right now. And I just think with where Nemias is at, from what I've seen, there's just a lot of work that still needs to be done on his game to just kind of round out what he provides. I mean, he's a rim protector. He's a really big body. We've seen him you know, in at a G League level, be able to provide rim protection. But on the NBA floor, it's just looked like he's a half step too slow. I think he's kind of in that 4A, you know, where you're not quite in the majors, exactly not in AAA.
4A player.
He just seems like one of those guys who's too good for the G League, but I just can't see him in the modern NBA really fitting on any team.
Yeah, and I mean, look.
I shouldn't say any team, but there's just he's really raw.
I think it just is a part of is the potential there with Namias Keita. Yeah, I mean, he was a runner-up for the G League MVP last year, all-defensive first team. Again, he did everything you want to see at the G League level. Mm-hmm. And I will say, at the NBA level, he has been disappointing. But that being said, 20 games over the first 2 years of his career, 149 minutes. That's just not
That's nothing.
That much playing time. It's kind of a cup of coffee at the NBA level. Again, he struggled against those bigs like Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. But again, I mean, everyone struggles with those guys. I think that for me, I don't know. And this is kind of the tough part, because I think 3 years ago, if you're asking me, it kind of is like when the Kings brought in Hassan Whiteside. Why the hell are they bringing in Hassan Whiteside?
Yeah.
When they're a bad team, they need guys that are young and have potential and can grow. I think at that point, Marvin Bagley was still here and the Kings wanted to try and grow him into something. He was coming off the bench behind Nemanja Bjelica. We're at a point now where it's like maybe the Kings don't really have the bandwidth to have a project right now. I think that they're in a position where they're trying to contend.
Yep.
They're trying to, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. They're trying to win a championship, which is crazy to say. They're trying to win games. They made it to the playoffs last year. They're a third seed. They're not going for just a good season this year. They're trying to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're one of those teams that's trying to reach for that ultimate goal. Bring in a 24-year-old like Namias Keita, who is a project right now, and that's what he is a project, might not be the best course of action at this point in time. Now, that's a gamble, though, because the Kings are to cut ties in the Namias Keita. Some other team that's out there and rebuilding, the Houston Rockets or the Portland Trailblazers, could scoop him
primed up for one of those teams.
Yeah. I could see him go be impactful. Wasn't
there was rumors that the Blazers were interested in Namias, if I'm not mistaken.
They were kicking the tires on that, I believe, during Summer League. When his future was still, you know, the outlook was bleak at the time in Sacramento, because the Kings were making those moves. And right now it's a question mark. But I do think that the Kings are more suited for a Nerlens Noel, for someone who can come in if he's healthy. And again, if you look at Noel, as far as he has not played over 25 games in a season since 2020. And the last two seasons, he's averaged around 10.9 points per game and 11.5 points per game. Minutes per game, excuse me. So you're asking for a lot. You're asking for health, and then you're asking for impact. But I'm in the same boat. I think that the Kings, they need veteran leadership. They need veteran impact. And Nerlens Noel is kind of the guy for this group, I think. So
a very interesting way too deep insider baseball conversation, too, is like this is going to test the Kings training staff. I mean, the Kings training staff last year won the award for like best training staff in the NBA.
I know that was an award.
Yeah, I mean, there was tons of awards that I learned last night. They got like equipment manager of the year and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Kings kind of swept won everything.
They won everything, rightfully so.
Coach of the year, two All-NBAs.
Two GMs of the year, two executive of the years,
GM, G League, and then they had a rookie, all rookie first year.
Yeah, I mean, they really swept them all, and so this is going to be a test on them. Was last year just kind of a fluke that the Kings got really lucky with injury health, or is the Kings training staff actually like this elite staff? Much like, I mean, there used to be talk when, you know, Phoenix had Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire and, you know, Sean Marion. People would talk about the Phoenix Suns training staff like they were, you know, healers, like magic healers. There's just, you would go there and all of a sudden you was like finding the fountain of youth. I wonder if the Kings feel like they have a similar situation. This could be a nice little heat check for them. And, I think Nerlens is a really perfect guy to try and put in there, because, again, you're not asking for a lot. You're not asking for a guy to play 20 minutes, but can you get this guy's body ready to play 10 to 15 to maybe 20 minutes every so often? It's a
rounding the roster out type of move.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, Namias Keita is a move I keep saying, but it makes more sense. A couple years ago when the Kings are searching, they're not really searching anymore. They know who their guys are. Yeah. They have their core. And now it's kind of like, okay, the Kings can't defend the basket.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's done it before.
Absolutely.
And proven done it. Yeah. I mean, Namias Keita, his upside and what he is at the G League, I think ideally we'd all like that to be the case at the NBA level. And again, in fairness, he has not gotten a fair shot in the rotation yet. But my point is, there might not be time or that much room for risk. So
no, absolutely not. I mean, you just look at, think about the Kings' depth right now, which I've said countless times. I think the Kings are one of the deepest teams in the NBA right now. I mean, they have Malik Monk, they got Davion Mitchell, they got Chris Duarte, Sasha Vezenkov, Trey Lyles, all coming off the bench. Those guys are 100% all getting minutes. That's just a bona fide fact. That's already 10 guys that you have to give playing time to. Yep. Those are all bench guys.
And spoiler, they're probably not gonna go 10 deep.
Probably not. And that leaves out guys like Kessler Edwards. How about Colby Jones? How about Nemias Keita or Nerlens Noel? I just think that, again, we're talking about very, very few minutes. But in those few minutes, you have to be able to make as big of an impact as possible. And I just think the skill set and the experience that Nerlens has just warrants a little bit more of an edge over Nemias, in my opinion. I just think Nemias, like you were kind of pointing out earlier, those are going to be largely developmental minutes. And unless the Kings are going to be blowing out teams or surprisingly getting blown out, like I just don't know when you're necessarily going to have the time to put him on the floor and figure it out in real time.
Yeah. And the last thing before we can move on, but the Kings have solidified their center position for the next 5 years, at least.
Yes.
I mean, DeMontis
starting Sabonis, spot. Yeah.
He'll be 32, I believe, when his contract ends. I mean, for all we know, maybe he's still really productive in 5 years and the Kings sign him to another deal. Who knows? But the point is, they are now in the business of just finding backup centers
exactly.
The next 5 years.
Yeah.
And Nemias Keita,
not. I mean, they don't have to. Like, look at who is Nikola Jokic's backup right now?
Honestly, I could not. I know they got Thomas Bryant, but he barely played.
It's DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan has no illusion of playing basketball. I know.
They
tried DeMarcus Cousins as well. Like, it does not matter. No. Like, if you have an elite center, that's the thing. And that's kind of why I think some of this backup center talk is a little overblown, even though I've definitely played into it. In the playoffs, Sabonis is playing 40 plus minutes.
Yep.
Like, that leaves like 8 for a backup
and
center.
And Trey Lyles probably will play backup center.
And he will probably play backup yeah. center, just like Jeff Green, for the most part, played backup center for yes. the Nuggets. Like, it doesn't really matter when you have an elite guy at that position, especially in the games that matter. The starters are going to be playing a majority of the game.
And I'll tell you what right now. If DeMontis Sabonis, knock on wood, misses 15 games a season, guess who's going to start? Alex Len.
Well, and also, it doesn't matter at that. Like, it doesn't matter who comes in at that point. It's such a massive drop-off that it doesn't matter who your backup center is, because your backup center isn't DeMontis Sabonis. And so you're already going to be facing a disadvantage at that point. It's like when your starting quarterback goes down. It's like, kind of doesn't matter who your backup is. You could argue it does because it can keep your season afloat, but your ceiling will never ever be as high as what it was if your starter was healthy. So, you know, at the end of the day, if Sabonis goes down for an extended period of time, the Kings aren't going to find success anyway.
I agree. It'll be interesting to watch it all unfold.
I mean, for sure.
That's like the training camp battle to watch.
It's like Niners preseason. Yes. It's giving us a reason to stay locked in.
Who's
during training
quarterback?
Camp. Exactly. Who yeah. is going to be third string center? Like, these are the kind of things that
what
you
I
know,
heard,
keeps interest.
It was it Darnold? Darnold had a good game.
Yeah, Darnold looked all right. Yeah. Wow. Trey Lance did not look good.
His stock's like way down now, isn't
it? It is. Yeah, it's about as low as it could possibly be.
He was a top. I'm not a
top three pick.
Top three. Okay. Yeah. Just a little back.
Three or four. Yeah.
I'm a good fantasy football yeah. player, but my knowledge of the league
yeah.
is a work in progress.
It's
but,
all good. You're not
speaking of,
out on much.
Of the league tomorrow. And we'll talk about next week, 'cause it's yeah. not something I'm interested to get your thoughts. Anyone who's listening's thoughts, the in-season tournament mm-hmm. will be announced tomorrow, as in yes. Tuesday. Sacramento Kings are in West C group. That is the Kings, Warriors, Timberwolves, Thunder, and Spurs. They'll be playing games throughout, I believe it's November to...
Yeah, from November to December.
December, it'll be yeah. every Tuesday, I think.
Every like, Tuesday and Friday, I think.
Yeah, except for election day.
Really, didn't know that.
They will not be, have any games on election day.
I don't think there's any
day.
Games, yeah.
I just want to, again, De'Aaron Fox shared his thoughts last night a little bit. He asked fans, how do you feel about the in-season tournament on Twitter? He said in response to a fan that said they like it, he said, I am so about it. Obviously, we've never done it before, but other basketball leagues and soccer leagues do it. They seem to love it. That gives me the idea that De'Aaron Fox is open to it. I mean, again, players, they get a nice payday if they mm-hmm. if they win. I think they get, what, almost a quarter of or
it's,
$500,000?
$500,000. Yeah.
Each.
Each, yeah.
That'd be kind of nice. So
chump change for the real guys.
Do you like watching football, soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to know, is this concept something that you're into for the NBA? I mean, it seems like it's something that I think fans, personally, I think fans will get into it once it starts.
Yes.
But are you excited for it?
Yeah, I'm excited for it for sure, especially once it gets down to, like, I think the moment where everyone's going to fully buy in is the Final Four. Once they go to Vegas and you get the atmosphere of everybody hyper-focused on the tournament and just the amount of it. I mean, the NBA is putting so much time and attention towards making this work that I just think people are going to care about it. And then the championship game, the 83rd game of the season, if you will, is going to be incredibly exciting. And that's going to be the moment where, you know, the players on the floor are going to realize that, oh, this isn't just a regular season game. This is something that's got a little bit more stakes just because of the environment you're in. And, you know, it might not be something you care about during the prelims, but once you're in the tournament, like, you're already there, you might as well try and win it. I just think pride's going to end up getting in the way of these
guys. Yeah, and these count as regular season games.
Yeah, except that's the thing.
The final, like, two. But
that's the thing I haven't understood about the backlash of this is there's no difference between the preliminary games and what your typical regular season games would be. It's just there's added incentive to win.
Play harder. Like, play harder.
Yeah, there's no incentive to not, you know, for these games to be worse. Like, I think some people were like, why would stars care about these games? Well, I mean, not necessarily any more or less than what they would normal regular season games, but it's just there's just added importance to it, whether or not the players themselves are going to add the importance or not. Like, there's just added value to these games. It's just, I don't know, it's just going to be a positive. I could see how, you know, teams like the Warriors and, you know, maybe the Lakers and the Celtics might not view this tournament as really much of anything. Those guys are a lot more concerned about actual, you know, Larry O'Brien trophies. But, you know, a team like the Sacramento Kings is primed to care more about this than anybody else because, you know, there's real value in it. I think that there's absolutely value in telling your team, like, hey, we had a common goal. We all really wanted to win this tournament, and we went out and we did it. And, like, that's something you could take forward and, you know, give you some wind behind your wings a little. And, you know, I just think it's going to be overall a positive for teams that want to care about it. I just don't think everyone's going to give the same care and attention to it.
Yeah, that's been a problem with the NBA. I think Draymond Green even said on a podcast, his own podcast, maybe, how over the course of a season, you lose interest. The players lose interest in regular season games. And it's been a topic of conversation of should they shorten the season. I think the NBA, by making this move, has made it pretty clear they will not take away games. That means less money in their pockets, the TV deals, all that good stuff. I'm very into the idea. I'm into the idea of it changing as time goes on and maybe the prize changes going forward. Sure. I mean, I think it'd be kind of interesting if they were to give up like a guaranteed play-in spot because there could be a team that's on a heater and maybe a team that wins 30 games.
Yeah.
That'd be a tricky spot to be in, but maybe that's the fun part of it. I mean, that's kind of the case for, I want to say minor league baseball. There's like, I think it's in AA, a team that has the best record in the first half doesn't win the division or claim a play. It depends. They like add up both halves. Mm-hmm. And like, if you have a really strong second half, or, there's some kind of like, there's like
an automatic qualifier
gimmick to it. It's like a part that kind of keeps all the teams engaged though.
Sure.
Maybe if they offer up a playing spot, I'm just workshopping, but
yeah. Or maybe like a top 10 pick or something like that. Or I don't know, the lottery, a guaranteed like lottery to play hard. Pick or something. Yeah.
Like this is why you're going to have to play hard. Here you go. But I think I'm very into it. I think the Vegas part of it will be fun. I'm assuming no other games will be happening.
There's no way.
That'd be fun if the Kings could go to Vegas. Maybe we hop on down there and
check it out. Absolutely.
We are the Kings of Vegas. That's what they call us. Yep. Me, you, and Brendan Nunes.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, tomorrow, noon
Pacific. Yeah. Noon Pacific on the, or whatever they're calling, NBA Today.
Yep, we'll have that on the website as well. Yeah. I might have pre-written something. Just need the games.
Speaking well, and of, so like, sorry, just to wrap, put a bow on that conversation. We already obviously know the opponents that they'll play. We know the range of dates in which those games will be played. So the only thing we're learning tomorrow is the exact order in which, the dates in which they'll be playing.
Just the date. And again, just to be clear about the group, I think the Kings group is preferable for them. I think when you have to look at the Kings in a group that includes the Golden State Warriors, who I wouldn't say, and we're going to talk about, we're going to break down.
Definitely not on the rise.
I don't think, I can't sit here and say that the Golden State Warriors got better.
No,
I can't.
No.
Minnesota Timberwolves, a lot of question marks. They could be better.
Two teams advance from each group also.
Oklahoma City might be one of the more intriguing or the most intriguing matchup.
I would say the Kings are a step in front of them.
Yeah. Depends on what they get from Chet Holmgren and the rest of their young guys. And then the San Antonio Spurs, even with Wemby, I think the Kings clear them. So the Kings avoided a group that could have put them in, like West B is Denver, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Rockets. I would like to avoid that one.
Yeah.
And then you have Memphis, the Suns, the Lakers, the Jazz, and the Blazers. I think that's fine. I think West B is clearly the best group with the Clippers and the Nuggets, but yeah, we just get the dates tomorrow, and the Kings, I think, have a good shot of winning that group.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that they're going to care more about it. Again, I don't think like a team like the Warriors is going to take much value in this in-season tournament. And, you know, there's definitely some young teams. OKC is probably going to be pesky. I'd imagine Minnesota will also want to have some success. But, you know, the Kings, if they improve on last season, which I think depth-wise they definitely did, it shouldn't be a problem for them to advance out of this group. I would definitely put them as the betting favorites I could to at least make it out.
They won't be, of course. The Warriors will be, but yeah. I think
they're even. Last time I checked, I think they were both plus 200, but I could be wrong.
We're going to break down every Pacific Division team. Maybe starting next week, we'll pick a team a week or two a week, whatever. But I can't sit here and say that the Warriors got better. No. They added Chris Paul, who'll be 38 this year, and you know they traded away a bunch of young guys. But I digress. Speaking of games and schedules, we did get a nice little tidbit of information today. League Source says that the Kings will have 10 nationally televised games this year, including the opening night game, which it's not official yet. I would assume it's that Wednesday, the 25th, I think. Is that the right day? Opening night for the NBA is 24th. Yeah, I would guess October 25th on that Wednesday night, the Kings will have a home game on TV, which means it'll fall on an ESPN broadcast. The Kings, I don't know if you remember this, but they had an ESPN game last year they got bumped from. It was Kings Houston. They got bumped.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. But they made up for it with two TNT games. So 10 games. And I'm a little surprised by the reaction on Twitter. A lot of people are upset. They expected more. But the Kings, for reference, they had 5 nationally televised games last year. This includes NBA TV. Did you expect more? Or are you thinking that doubling the national televised games for a Kings team, that's a pretty good, you know, get a cookie they're getting tossed here.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see exactly how the breakdown
and
goes in terms of NBA TV and TNT and ESPN, because clearly NBA TV games, they're technically nationally televised, but they really don't count the same. They don't hold the same weight as like ESPN and TNT. Just the amount of people who have access to those two networks is much bigger than that of NBA TV. So I don't really count NBA TV as national televised. So if the Kings have more than, well, last year they had 2. It was the Knicks and the Nets game where there were only 2.
And they had 4,
by that definition,
4 NBA TV last year.
Yeah, I would suspect. So, yeah, if you give them opening night, I would think they'll have 4 games.
On the big networks?
Yeah, I would put the over-under at 4.5.
So 4
and
6.
A lot of betting talk today.
4 and 6 is your 4-6 breakdown. 4 TNT / ESPN, then 6
NBA
TV.
That would be my guess.
That's fine with me. I mean,
that's I honestly don't care about those.
The Kings didn't go to the finals last year. I mean, they were a fun team. They're exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up Kings fans. We're kind of homers. Like I lean more positive. You're more pessimistic, but I lean positive. And I'm sitting here saying the Kings, in my opinion, they haven't done enough to have 20 nationally televised games. If they come out this year and they win 49, 50 games, I think we can start talking about Christmas, because that's my next question. We now know they don't play on Christmas.
I want to talk about people upset.
Did you really expect them to play
on
Christmas?
No. I felt crazy trying to tell people beforehand. No, they're not getting Christmas. People were like throwing numbers like the Kings Warriors was the most watched series of all. Because the Warriors were in it, y'all. Like, I hate to admit it, but like the Warriors are the draw. They're the ones that bring the attention. It could have been Warriors Timberwolves, and it would have gotten a ton of viewers. Maybe not the most ever, but anybody who was going to push the Warriors to 7 games was going to get a ton of viewership. The Kings had the juice last year, okay? Yes. They had a lot of interest for sure.
They fought.
I'm not going to blame national you know, decision makers for having some skepticism that last year is going to be hard to replicate. And I think, you know, we'll be very fortunate if the Kings can replicate the success that they had last season. And, you know, I think it would have been a really big bet for these networks to go out there and say, we're going to guarantee that the Kings are going to be a good team again next year after 16 straight years of failure. Like, I don't blame them for having skepticism.
Because you put them in the calendar for a March 15th TNT game against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
What if the Kings are, you know, out of the race?
Yeah.
That's a risk. Because again, we don't really know. I mean, really, and I'm being honest, I feel confident that the Kings are going to be good this year.
Yeah.
But there is definitely that thought in the back of my head that last year was really, I think, I don't want to say perfect, but it kind of was a perfect year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went right.
Yeah.
Everything went right. Health, on-court performance, off-court drama. There was none. Everything was great.
Mm-hmm.
We flipped the narrative. The Kings flipped the narrative on how everyone views them.
Yes.
That, and they ended a playoff drought.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing bad happened.
Nope.
Nothing bad happened.
It was about as successful as an exit as you can have.
They lost game seven. They fought. And again, those ratings, it was a Steph Curry Warriors effect. Absolutely. But I think that people did come in and tune in more because they said, oh, this Kings team, they're fighting. They're up Pesky. Two. They're up 2-0. They're up 2-1. People want to see Steph, you know, who is they want to see him lose.
Yes.
Or
yes,
they want to see greatness prevail.
Yeah.
And they did. But there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
The Kings are not. They don't have Giannis. They're not a finals contender or returning from the finals. They are a question mark.
Yep.
And I think that being said, 10 games is pretty generous or pretty, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, and I can hear people yelling at their, whatever they're listening on right now. Like, well, what about the Warriors? You said the Warriors aren't going to be good. And they're the ones who are on national team. They have Steph Curry.
They have the names.
They have Wardell, Stephen Curry. And at the end of and they have Chris Paul as well. Like, you got to think about the marquee, especially for those Christmas Day games. Like, they promote the hell out of those games for a solid month. And it's a lot easier to sell that day when, mind you, there's going to be two NFL games on Christmas again this year as well. So now they have competition. They got to get as many stars on that marquee as possible. So that's why you're going to have Steph and the Warriors playing the Denver Nuggets because, the Nuggets aren't a very appealing team by themselves. Obviously, they won the championship, but they're not going to draw tons of eyeballs. But you put them in a game with Steph Curry, guaranteed. Yeah, it's gonna be a massive, show.
The 10 most viewed NBA games over the past
all have the 10, Warriors.
15, 20 years. Some crazy thing. Yeah. It's all Warriors.
Yeah.
And as someone who I think when there was like the media wars going on with mostly it was like 95-7 and like Kenny and those guys at 13-20, they were kind of like that media war. I kind of was like on the side of, well, I get what
it was for Mark.
The 95-7 guys are saying, how the only reason why the Kings are pulling in these numbers is because the Warriors.
Yes.
Well, the Kings are some credit too. They do, but I can't sit here and say that the Kings had a real hand in those ratings because if the Kings were playing the Timberwolves, like you said, or the Jazz, and they were going seven games, it's still not even be close.
Not even
in those
close.
Numbers. And that's the reality of it.
No, yeah. And I'm not saying the Kings have no juice. Like, they would have some pull, but it would, you know, I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, unless the Kings are playing the Lakers or the Warriors.
It's but don't just, shoot the messenger.
The national media isn't going to care. Of course, here locally or even, you know, in Northern California or Northern and Southern California, in the case of the Lakers, there'll be regional people who care, but nationally, it doesn't get the Sabonis and Fox are not superstars. They're just not. They're getting there, especially De'Aaron Fox. Last season was the most I've ever heard ESPN and other publications talk about De'Aaron Fox unprompted. But, you know, they're not superstars yet. And until they get to that, you know, mega star level, they're not going to be put on national
TV.
It's
all about progress. And again, the parallels.
We're 1 year into this thing.
Exactly. And the parallels between Fox and, I mean, think about that. Steph Curry was 25, same as De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
6 years in, 25 years old. He went, I think it was the first round, was eliminated by a former MVP. There's like that picture of like Steph, and they're the same exact thing. Steph didn't come on the scene until he was 25. So that kind of paints a picture for you. Fox is at the, hopefully, beginning. The beginning
of
his start of
this thing.
So you can't just say, okay, he had a great year, all NBA. We're going to give the Kings 25.
Right.
That's not how it works. Even when the Kings were really good, they didn't. I mean, again, TV is so much different than it was 20 years ago, obviously.
Definitely.
But again, and we're just the messengers. And like, maybe you disagree, and that's fine. I just think the Kings, if they come out this year and they really stick it to the rest of the league, yeah, they'll probably get a Christmas Day game. If they win 50 games and go to the second round, they'll probably get a Christmas Day game next year.
Yeah.
But not this year.
I mean, also, like, you know, it's probably not a bad thing that the Kings are still sliding under the radar.
Yeah.
Like, it would make me nervous if they had 20 national TV games. I mean, it's just, I don't know if this team is quite front runner material at the moment. I felt like, especially if you look at what happened last year, the second the Kings were in some must win games in the regular season, I'm talking about that Timberwolves game, I'm talking about that Spurs game. You know, there was a little bit of, okay, the lights are getting bright, and they kind of shut down a little bit. Now, obviously, being on more national TV games would probably make them more and more comfortable. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's okay for them to still be flying under the radar, still have some underdog mentality for them. Because, you know, if you feel like everyone is projecting you to succeed, a lot of time that's when trouble comes, you know, bringing its head around. And I think it's good if the Kings still feel like people are sleeping on them.
They need to show that for them. If you're going to say last year was like their freshman rookie year for that group, their sophomore slump, you know, they can't have one.
Nope.
And we're going to see that right now. I believe they're going to be a good team. For those that are thinking we're being negative or dragging the Kings over, I like to look at it as a little dose of being realistic and saying
for sure
they have to earn that right.
Well, there's also just a lot of uncertainty in the West specifically. Like, I mean, we know the Nuggets are going to be great, but let's go down the standings of last year. 2-seed Memphis, they're not going to have Ja for 25 games. The Kings, I mean, everything says the Kings should replicate the success they had last year. They're bringing back a ton of people and adding some rotation guys as well. They should be better, but we don't know. Phoenix obviously had major roster turnover. Who knows how much better they'll be or if they'll be the same as last year. Golden State, you mentioned how many people they lose. Who's the Clippers?
Health.
Are they going to have James Harden? I don't know. The Lakers. We think the Lakers are going to be better.
They honestly probably made the best moves out of any team in the Pacific this offseason, in my
opinion. That's fair. I think that's very fair to say.
But I tip my cap. I've dragged in the past 2 years in preseason podcasts. I'll tip my cap.
However, they're very reliant on two people who are becoming injured. I mean, Anthony Davis just is a walking injury, and LeBron's getting old. Yeah.
And that's the sad thing.
He's finally getting old.
He's
41 years old, and he's finally getting old.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that's not something that's super reliable. And then Minnesota was the 8-seed.
We'll see. A little injury prone.
Yeah, Cat, I just think there's a lot of questions in the West, whether it be teams could be a lot better than what they were last year or better than expected, or, you know, we could see. I don't know. The biggest thing is we don't know, and we're not going to know until the regular season starts and these teams start to actually kick things off.
It's not a guarantee, but you know. I do think that the Kings have room for growth, and they're going to prove that. They have to prove it.
Yep.
Last thing before we get out of here, did you see the news that ESPN made those changes to the national broadcast? Or NBA?
Yeah.
So they obviously we know that the A group is Mike Breen,
yep.
Doris Burke,
yep.
Doc Rivers.
Yes.
Their B group now.
Oh, I did not see this.
Okay.
Their B group now. Okay.
Our very own Mark Jones is now kind of off. He's going to be a lot more available for Kings games, I believe. He's staying with ESPN.
So he's not.
He's not the B group. The B group now is, and this is again a group that an ESPN spokesperson said that they are implementing as a form of succession for 10 years from now, or however long it is from now. This group will eventually be the next group.
So that means that these are younger people.
Yes.
Okay. If I had to guess, can it be Ian Eagle's son? I'll say Ian Eagle's son and JJ Redick.
You got one of them right.
Okay, JJ.
Yeah, JJ Redick. Who's the play-by-play?
Is it three people?
It's three people. Two former players and one broadcaster who is young, and he's doing a lot of stuff right now. Like a lot of stuff.
Doing a lot of stuff right now. A young broadcaster. So it's JJ Redick, Richard Jefferson.
Yep.
Love Richard Jefferson. So glad. Who's doing a lot of stuff right now? I have no idea. Who is it?
Ryan Rucco.
Oh!
Yeah.
I love Ryan Rucco. I know you're a big Rucco guy too. He does all like he's WNBA. The number one for the WNBA. So good.
He is. He's
so good.
He's awesome. He obviously I'm a Yankees guy. He does a lot of Yankees games. He's electric calls. He's calling the perfect game. Mm-hmm. I think he's earned it.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
So that's
makes me really happy.
That's the group that they're saying is the, because Mike Breen's like probably in his 60s now, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
So I mean, 10 years from now, and that was the they said 10 years or whatever from now, those guys will all be still pretty young.
Yeah.
I think Bruco, Reddick, and they'll all be like in their 40s.
I think
Jefferson might be in his 50s, but is he 40?
Sure. Yeah.
Is he 40 yet, Richard Jefferson? Give me a guess on Richard Jefferson's age.
I would say Richard Jefferson at this moment in time is either 39 or 40.
I'm going to go
on the dot.
I'm going to go with around 40.
He's definitely around 40 for sure. I mean, he just retired like 3 years ago.
Oh, 43.
43, so he retired at 4. Wow. He looks, RJ, looking good.
He looks like the same exact – he looks exactly the same.
He does.
When he's a player.
Yeah, definitely.
JJ does too.
Yeah, JJ looks almost younger. Like, well, he did look like a pesky little college kid when he was at Duke.
That's the thing, though. People are saying that because he wants to be a head coach. So he might not be there.
I mean, this is Chauncey Billups, this is a good path for becoming a good a head coach.
Or going back about after, like Doc Rivers.
Right.
He started, he was on NBA on NBC back when we were
I never heard him.
When he had a voice.
Yeah. I've heard that he used to be really, really good, though.
He had a voice.
TV. Yeah. Then it's just like this. No, Doris. I just.
So is he just like resting his vocal cords now?
I think it's just done.
He's got to rest those till...
I think it's shot.
It's got to be shot.
I think it's just done at this point.
Doris Burke, though, MVP.
Doris took a big stock hit last year. Never saw more criticism of Doris Burke than I saw last year's playoff. No, it was one of those where, and frankly, this probably just means you're good at your job, to your point, but it was one of those where every fan base felt like she was rooting for the other fan base. Like Warrior fans were like, she keeps talking about the Kings and all this, and Kings fans even were like, she clearly has a Warrior bias.
That's a tough like line to tell.
Oh, it's impossible.
A national broadcaster versus like a home broadcaster for local, like
you can obviously homer. Yeah,
but no, that's impossible.
No,
that's
impossible. Yeah. Especially, yeah. I
mean, but that's your ESPN, you know, lineup.
So I like it.
Mark Jones, that's a big takeaway too.
Mark Jones.
He'll probably be available for a lot of Kings games. Yeah, except for like there's college football stuff for him.
Right. Yeah, he does everything.
Like the big full slate of NBA games. He'll probably do some NBA as well.
I think he used to do radio too, didn't he? ESPN radio. I think he would do that for
show?
No, like for the main broadcast. I think like for the finals, him and Dort obviously weren't doing the television. I think him and Doris would do the radio call.
I think so.
I wonder if he still
NBA radio for playoffs.
That I don't know. Yeah,
it wasn't Dan Shulman. He stopped doing basketball. I think. I love Dan Shulman. Remember him? He used to call it basketball. He would do all like the big Duke, like North Carolina games.
Really?
And
maybe if I hear the voice, I just don't know the name.
I can find it off air.
I heard. Have you been watching FIBA? Just to wrap up the basketball conversation, I guess.
I've been keeping up on like the scrim images.
The showcase stuff. Yeah,
but not the actual.
I only bring it up because Bill Raftery is on the call, and I just love Bill Raftery.
He's a good one.
It reminds me of like those old NCAA basketball games. He used to be on the call. Man.
Here's this is Dan Shulman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He doesn't like.
Yeah, he does a lot of baseball.
He did mostly, like, I know him from college basketball.
Yes. Okay, absolutely. Yeah. I can picture it with some college basketball moments. Yes.
Bald, and he'd always be with, oh, my God, I can't remember.
Dickie V?
Yeah, he'd be with Dick Vitale. Yeah. Also someone else, too. But anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. He stepped away from that to just do
He did, really.
He just does Blue Jays now.
Wow.
So I actually on MLB TV will put on Blue Jay games sometimes because I like his voice so much.
Yeah, nice. It's like soothing. It puts you to sleep. Okay.
It is.
It's tough job to be a baseball broadcaster these days.
It is. Jeez. Well, actually, the game's quicker now.
No, I was just meant everybody going down for.
The
Orioles
dumb,
guy
man.
And
that
then
was
obviously
so
the A's thing earlier and the Reds guy a couple seasons ago.
A couple of those are different.
Yeah, no, some of those are not the same.
The definitely. Orioles one was really
that
dumb.
Was crazy.
The other ones that
were dumb for different reasons.
Not great.
Yeah, not
both
great.
Not great.
Definitely not ideal. What were you going to say? What's my favorite? What?
Who's your favorite broadcaster of all time?
That's a great question. Gus Johnson It's Gus. Really? Johnson. Gus is so good. I don't understand the Gus Johnson hate.
I like the how he just rev. He gets loud. The build up. Yeah. Like he'll start like kind of a normal level for games. Yeah. And at the end, he's just screaming.
Oh, he's great. Like, and it doesn't matter what's football, basketball. Like, he's so good at just like you're saying, just like the big, like for a historic call, which it feels like for whatever reason, every like incredibly iconic moment, just Gus Johnson just seems to be lucky enough to be on the broadcast. Cold-blooded, the great one, like just the sense of the moment, and just like, yeah, like cold-blooded, like the one of one call in which that is, like no one else can make that call except for Gus Johnson. So I'm going Gus number one.
I'm going with I love Kevin Harlan. That's fair. I love Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, really good. He just calls a game. Like his
voice is just booming. Like I heard him in the tunnel at Golden one time, and you just hear him from like around the corner.
Yeah,
that sounds like a god.
He can do football. He can do basketball. Has he done baseball before? I feel like he would do really good at baseball.
He was, I guess, the Kansas City, before the Kings moved, he was their broadcaster.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kansas City.
I've heard that story before. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Wanted to move him, and he was like,
he said, no,
I'm not. And then I think he ended up doing Chiefs games or something.
Yeah, he still like did some Chiefs stuff. But that video of him doing the play by play of the fan that was on the field.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's at the 15.
He does those a couple. Yeah. He does like cats that'll run on the field squirrels and stuff. Yeah. Kevin Harlan is undoubtedly a goat. A goat.
Oh, I think I'm good. Are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I feel satisfied. And, you know, I think we did pretty well for only having the Miascada news to really talk about.
The San Francisco Giants are calling up a top prospect. I don't even know who this is. You know, Wade Mechler. He started in high A. What is he? He's an outfielder. What are the Giants doing?
I have no idea. I'm
going to the game tomorrow.
I played a lot of the show. I've heard you talk a lot about you're more of a Diamond Dynasty
guy. Are you doing that?
No. Dude, I do so franchise fun. Mode and Road to the Show.
Hear me out. It sounds overwhelming. It's not.
I've done it a couple times. Yeah.
You get all the cards.
You do the offline stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm addicted to like getting the cards.
Yeah.
Stuff now.
No, that's, I mean, yeah, it can be. I did it one year where I gave it like a good try, but it's just, I don't know. I really like doing franchise. I like having more control over things.
Franchise is fun. Yeah. Now that I have like the team that I want, I'm going to start playing online.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's a good.
Yeah.
Good
I feel time. Like that's a big step. Online is like, people are no joke.
Maybe the Giants game tomorrow. Giants.
Really? Giants Rays?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's not
going. Yeah. I'm not touching that one.
He's not going.
Not touching that one.
Nope.
Like I said, it's tough to be. I think it's just tough to be in baseball.
It's a very, very. Baseball is going through a tough time. Yeah. But that bad man will not be there. Yeah. So we will be in the front row, though. It was like $50. For like,
really? Oh, you're like going to the game. Yeah. I thought you were like covering the game.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going. It's like a.
Yeah. Man. Where are you sitting?
It's like the first. My friend found tickets.
Behind catcher or?
It's third base line. But. First row. I don't know how the hell he got them.
For $50?
It's a Tuesday game, so maybe they're cheaper.
It's a Tuesday against the
Rays. The Giants are playing very poorly, and I do write about them right now, and they're playing very poorly. They might not make the playoffs. And I'm wearing my Yankee shirt, so I should shut up, but they might not make the playoffs at this rate. Because the Cubs, those Cubbies.
They're putting up runs.
And the Reds.
Yeah.
De La Cruz. There's some good teams coming up.
Yeah, and the Giants just continue to have no spice behind them. Every time I look at their roster, I'm just like... There's nothing here for me to get excited about.
The best player right now is Wilmer Flores.
Wilmer Flores, man. Yeah. And God, he's raking. He's
like eight home runs in the past like 15
games. I saw he had like the second highest like OPS in like the last like month and a half. And I'm like, how is Wilmer? But that's such an encapsulation of like this Giants team is just like, it's Wilmer freaking Flores.
Wilmer Flores.
The second, like what? How am I supposed to get excited about that? I don't know.
Are you looking forward, because you are on the air Monday through Friday, 10 to 2. Are you looking forward to this winter when you get to be on Ohtani watch and you have Giants fans calling and saying that he's going to San Francisco, but he's probably not going there?
I'm not excited for it, but I'm excited that it's a possibility. I mean, like would you
want him to go to San Francisco?
Yeah, absolutely. It would make me actually want to watch the Giants. And
you don't have a team still. You're still looking for an affiliation.
Yeah. Yep.
The A's were up there for a second.
Yes, they were. I was talking about that the other day. Yeah, when they got like Marte and all that. Yeah, and then they really just after that. That was really the death of the A's. Really, that was the last time they actually gave it a legitimate try.
That was kind of fun. That was a really fun season.
21. I think it was
21.
Was it post pandemic? I really don't remember,
because they went for it and they traded for those guys and they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but the year they made the playoffs so 3 years before, like 18, 19, 20, they had really good teams.
Yeah.
But baseball.
Baseball. It's something.
Anyways, we'll be back to talk about the schedule release.
Yes,
which
schedule
hopefully
release
next week.
Better happen next week.
I think it will. I think it'll maybe like next Wednesday. I'm guessing next Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's my
guess. I mean, if we're starting to hear like, 10 national TV games, we're going to get the play-in game or the in-season tournament games. We already know opening night and Christmas. Yep. Like, it feels like this is a slow trickle out for
what's intriguing though is the trickle just kind of stopped.
Yeah. No, definitely for the most part. Yeah.
Usually, like, the trickles happen, then you get the whole schedule like a day or two later.
Yeah.
This is like a long.
But mid-August is usually when it comes out, right? It's around like the 19th or so is traditionally when it happens, if I'm not
mistaken. I mean, last year I think the schedule came out like on this day, like on the 14th or 15th of August.
Interesting. So, okay, so anytime now then. It could even be this week. Maybe. Mean, it realistically could be this week.
The NBA could have the in-season like schedule drop tomorrow and then be like, surprise, Friday, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
Which it would not surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah, it's a dead period right now.
Last thing, who do you want the Kings to play on opening night?
Who do I want them to play on opening night? Blazers would be interesting just because it would be probably a win. Who knows where the Dame situation would be, and we get to see Scoot Henderson.
Spurs, Wemby.
Would be great to get another GOAT in here for his first game. That would be really cool, following in LeBron's footsteps. Warriors.
On a back-to-back?
No, just give me the Warriors. Well, game one.
They could.
They probably won't. Right, because they play opening night is what you're saying.
I think the most likely, and again, we don't have knowledge of this. I just would put my money on if I was that kind of guy.
Yeah.
The Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to be team.
Yeah, what? They played the Clippers the second or third game of the season last year?
Yeah.
Right, at home? I think it was their second home game.
And it makes sense for the first ESPN slate. They'll go east-east for the first game, then they'll go west-west. And if we know the Kings are going to be on national TV for the first game, and we probably know it's going to be on that Wednesday, I'd imagine it'll be the Clippers or maybe the Grizzlies or something. But
I'm trying to, the only reason I would have hesitancy for Kings Clippers is that's two little brother franchises.
I think that the NBA, they see the Clippers as big brother, which I don't view them that way, but they give the Clippers the big games and the big nights and the big, I don't think they're on Christmas this year. But are they on Christmas this year?
No, I don't think so. No,
but they have been getting that treatment.
Yeah.
They're looked at as a big brother franchise, but I agree. I don't think they should.
Yeah, like Kings Clippers like 5 years ago would have been, or I guess 25 years ago would have been like, why would on earth would you put those two teams?
No, for sure. So 25 years ago, geez, I was thinking about that was like way long ago. Nope, in my brain,
1998.
I go to like the 80s when you say that though.
Yeah. No, like, I think naturally.
Allie and I both do that. We say like, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
The 70s were 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. Is that 50
years ago? 55, 53
years
ago. 53 years ago. Mm. Anyways,
sucks to be old.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we're
anyway,
we're going to go now.
Yeah, we're going to wrap that one up right there. So next week, hopefully we're talking about the release of the entirety of the NBA schedule. If not, we're getting the in-season tournament dropping on Tuesday at noon. Again, that'll be on NBA Today on ESPN. So check on that. We're also kind of inching towards September, which means we're inching towards
basketball
Kings training camp.
We're a month away
end of September.
We're a month and a half away from being a month away from the season starting.
Yes, we are a month and a half away. Yes,
that makes it sound a little less.
That sounds less close, but
we still have a long way to go.
We still have a long way to go, but we're going to take this step by step. And I mean, really, once September gets rolling, that's when I think the basketball news will start trickling in. Yeah, we'll start. It's been pretty quiet on the workout front. Haven't really seen much training videos. I saw Harrison Barnes was working out with Rico Hines the other day.
Darren Fox.
Yeah, shooting around on his honeymoon. Sabonis and Duarte were working out for a couple weeks there in what looked like Southern California. But besides that, not really much of the off-season grind that we've
seen. No, very quiet. I think that we will see. My other thing, I buried this earlier, but my other question was, what will the Kings do with Jordan Ford? We'll see. I would expect him to be at training camp because they are putting him in – the Kings have put him in Stockton events, so they haven't announced anything yet. But still have a two-way spot available. We'll see.
I'd imagine that's his. Yeah, I would guess that's his. That is going to be it for us. I can say that confidently.
Yes.
So yeah, we will talk to y'all next week with hopefully some good scheduling news for Frankie Cardicelli, Chris Watkins. Thank you all so much for tuning in.